Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of the Ocean View Podcast. No matter where you're at in our country or around the world, we thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Now sit back and enjoy this week's message.
Walt, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
I'm so glad you're home. Please help me with this baby. I need to finish supper. I'm cooking you pizza.
Jean, I just got home. Can't I have a couple of minutes to sit and collect myself?
Sure, but after, do me one more favor. Check her diaper. I'm sure she needs a dry diaper by now.
Don't I love being a father? Well, she looks okay to me.
Mr. Anderson, he did it again today, Walt. Asked us all to stay late. Just didn't have time for a full-blown shopping trip.
Oh, that's fine, as long as you got big pizzas, because I'm starving. Hey, Jean, have you seen the mail?
The mail. Check by your cell phone, maybe.
Oh. Bills.
Honey, did you say something to me?
Yes, I feel like a mother duck looking at all her ducklings. Bills.
Never stops, does it? Yeah. You know what? Good thing is that dinner's going to be ready in like 3 minutes.
Whew, good. Like I said, I'm starving.
I'm going to assume you took care of her diaper, right?
Yeah, you don't hear her complaining, do you?
Good point, I guess. Okay. 3 minutes. We can sit down for...
Yes.
3 minutes, Walt.
Ooh, absolutely.
Doesn't it feel good to sit down?
Yes, it does.
So, how was your day?
My day?
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know, tell me what happened at work or something.
Oh, work, that reminds me.
Whoa. Walt. Who are you calling?
Oh, I just got a couple of calls I didn't get a chance to make to today, so I just got to do it real quick.
Walt, I just asked you a question. Don't I deserve an answer?
Jean, we can talk all you want all night, but I only have a couple of minutes before dinner.
Exactly. You just proved my point. We only have a couple of minutes. Shouldn't they be hours? Husband and wife?
Jean.
You know what, Walt? Work is over right now, so why don't you be my husband and her father right now? Okay?
Jean, why are you being so possessive?
Wow. Possessive? Okay, because I want you to talk to me like you're my husband. You're going to call me possessive? Really?
We have a problem.
Well, Walton, Jean, it's very, very, very good for you to come see me. You know, it takes a lot to admit that you have a problem. But in order for me to help you, I need to know exactly what occurred the other night. So, Jean, from your perspective, can you share exactly what occurred?
Oh, I can tell you how it went down.
Oh, this
ought
to be
good. Just like this.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
Walt, honey, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
I am so glad that you are home to your castle. Honey, will you do me an itsy-bitsy favor and hold this little bundle of joy?
What?
Just watch your wife finish your favorite.
What's this baby still doing here? I thought I told you to get rid of it.
You're so cute when you look at me like that, honey. But you know what? Just change your diaper. It won't take you but a minute. I'll be right back, okay?
I don't like kids. I never liked kids. I didn't even like myself when I was a kid. Never wanted to be a father, and I never will.
That stinker, Mr. Anderson at work asking me to work late, and you know how I can never say no to anyone. So, honey, I shopped really smart, got you something that would be ready quickly and that you would love because I like to have your meal ready on time.
You know what, Jean? I hope you got big pizzas because the least you can do if you're not going to fix me a proper meal is feed me enough to fill me up. And where's my robe and slippers? Do I have to do everything around here? And where's the mail?
Sweetheart, did you ask about the mail? Why don't
you
check by your cell phone?
Oh, there. Bills. Oh.
Sweetheart, were you beckoning me again?
Yeah, I said I wish you'd work some more hours to pay for all this junk you keep buying.
I understand, my love. Let me hold this little one
here.
Okay, dinner's gonna be ready in 3 short minutes.
Oh, it's about time.
So appreciate you spending some time with our little one.
Oh, yeah, you don't hear her complaining, do you?
No, she never complains, just like her daddy never complains.
That's right.
This is my favorite time of the day, sweetheart, where we can just sit and relax and I can just listen to you talk. Why don't you open up and tell me how you're feeling?
You want to hear about my day?
I want to hear everything about what happened at work today.
Oh,
tell me.
Work, that reminds me.
Honey, who are you calling?
It's none of your business. I got work stuff to do. Get out of here.
But, sweetheart, you know we're trying to set a good example for our little one, and you know it would be impolite to not answer my question now, wouldn't you?
Jean, take a hint. Scram. I got work to do.
I know, darling, but listen. These few moments should be for you to refresh. They're all about you. Just relax a little.
No, Jean.
You know what? I know what you need. You need me to give you a massage. That's what I'm going to do. Massage, relax. I'm here for you, honey.
Gee, get off me. Quit hanging on me.
Honey, I'm not hanging on you. I'm just loving you. You know, love like husbands and wives do. Just relax a little.
Look, you have got a problem.
Oh?
Very interesting.
That's how it happened.
Walt, would you love to share from your perspective? Maybe it was a little different. Would you like to share?
Absolutely. I'll tell you how it really went down.
This should be great. Walt, is that you?
Yep, it's me.
It's about time you decided to come home. Hold this, kid. You know, I'm in here trying to get your favorite meal together. Pizza, because that's all you like to eat. Pizza. Watch the baby, okay? I'm trying to finish your pizza.
Oh, I'd be happy to, honey.
Okay, I don't know what you were getting ready to say to me, okay? Probably some smart comment. But you know what? Why don't you change the baby's diaper? Because I'm tired of being the only one who can lift a finger around here.
Oh, I guess a father's work is never done. But good news, my little angel has a dry diaper. Yes, she does.
I tell you what. He did it again. Have I told you lately I'm about to quit my job? Tomorrow's the day, Walt. Mr. Anderson, he thinks he's the only one who has personal time, apparently, asking me to work late again. Which means you better not say anything about this meal.
Oh, of course not, honey. You know me. I'm easy to please. Hey, sweetheart, have you happened to see the mail?
Are you asking me where the mail is again?
Uh-huh.
I don't know where you lay stuff. Look around. Just quit bothering me.
Found it, sweetie. Okay. Let's see what we got. Bills? Bills? Bills?
What are you in here muttering about now? Who's talking to?
I said just like the mother duck when she saw her ducklings. Bills, bills, bills.
Do you hear yourself sometimes? You embarrass me. Give me that kid. Rub off on her or something. I know you didn't change her yet, did you?
Oh, honey, if she needed a diaper change, I would have done it. You know that.
Oh, I don't know that. Sit down. Well, dinner will be ready when, I don't know, the microwave goes off or something.
Oh, no problem, honey. Take your time. No rush.
Okay. So, guess it's that awkward time in the day where we just sit and look at each other. You know what? Better yet, why don't you tell me about your day? Because I would be interested to know in who you talk to. What you talked about and how you felt about it when you talked about it. So tell me. Open up there, Waldy.
My day?
Yeah. Tell me what you did at work. Be a little vulnerable for once. What are you scared of? I know you failed at something. Well, tell me what you failed at today.
Oh, that reminds me, sweetheart. 1 second, please.
Oh, no. Snap. I know you're not trying to avoid me. What are you doing?
Well, honey, I just had to make a couple of quick calls. I didn't have a chance to at work today.
I know what it is. You're scared I'm going to find out something. Well, what are you keeping from me?
Oh, no, gee, nothing like that. I just had a couple of calls. We only have a couple of minutes before dinner.
I'm going to tell you about the couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Couple of minutes. We only got a couple of minutes.
Right.
Well, you know what?
Those
couple of minutes, Walt, are going to be spent with me. Me, me, me.
Oh, Jean, I think you're being a little over.
Come to think of it, Walt, I think you need to quit your job. Because it is absolutely consuming you.
Oh, sweetie, don't you think you're going just a tad bit overboard?
Tad bit overboard? No, nobody's going overboard. I'm going to tell you what. You think I'm going overboard because I expect you to walk in the door, drop everything, focus on me, your wife, and this kid we have together? You, Walt, have a problem.
Isn't it quite interesting that you can watch one scenario played out in two different ways? And the truth is, it happens in our homes, happens in our state, it also happens in our country, where individuals are so passionate about their perspective that they believe that the way that they see it is actually what is communicated. It's very appropriate, especially in light of recent events that are happening around our country, to where perspectives matter, but truth matters more. And today, if you're visiting with us, we're going to take a look at a man named James, and James is going to share something that really should affect all of us. If you're a follower in Jesus Christ today, James is actually talking to you. It doesn't matter what life stage you're in, doesn't matter whether or not you're in a marriage or whether or not you're single, because James is talking to all of us. And the truth is if maybe today and this week, Christians would actually take what James has to say and apply it to their lives, we wouldn't see some of the things that we're watching on TV this week. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to James. It's in the New Testament. It's chapter 1, verse 19. You can follow along on the screen here in just a second. If you have your iPads or iPhones, you can follow along on there as well. Or if you want, there's the YouVersion Bible app that you can download to your phone, and it provides all of the notes that we provide today. So without further ado, James 1:19, here we go. James says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." We fly by that passage as Christians many times, and it kind of rolls off us. Oh, yeah, Terry, we've seen this. But I really want to slow it down for us. I really want to break it down just for a second, because it's a very powerful verse in the Bible. He says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters." And right away, what you see him saying is he pauses in a moment and says this: if you're a Christian, in other words, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe that what he says is truth, you believe that how he says and what he says is how you're supposed to live your life, then this next phrase, this next sentence applies to every single one of us, which means this, husbands, which means this, wives, which means this, Christian. That when we read it, we can't say, well, God doesn't understand my situation. Well, God didn't really know what happened. Well, that's great, but I'm sure I'm unique because of my scenario. No, what James is basically saying is there are no excuses when I share this next verse. Because in this verse, no matter where you're at in life or what is happening to you, you still need to do this. And he says this: first and foremost, you need to be quick to listen. And I love the Bible, and if you don't read the Bible, you need to read the Bible, because he basically makes an understanding behind this. He says this: look, I know you, Terry, and I know that when you communicate with your spouse or when you communicate with someone else, the first thing you're going to want to do is to not listen. The first thing you're going to want to do is you're going to want to fix it. The first thing you're going to want to do is you want to show that you can solve the problem. The first thing you're going to want to do is to interrupt her after her fourth word and show her exactly what she needs to do. So, Terry, the first thing you need to do is, I want you to remember, when someone's communicating to you, when your spouse is communicating to you, the first thing you need to do is be quick to listen first. I love what he says secondly, though, because it's almost like James knows me, and he says this: because I know you, Terry, and the first thing you want to do is speak. You don't really want to listen. The first thing you want to do is speak. So I want you to be quick to listen, and the second thing I want you to do is to be slow to speak. It means this for most husbands in this room, that no matter what, even if you think you know exactly what your spouse is going to say, even if you think you understand the situation, even if you think that you know the right answer, even if you think they're wrong and you're saving them from wasting 10 more seconds of their life by interrupting them, that you need to be quick to listen and allow them to unpack. And then you can speak. But the last thing that James says is, Terry, I know you. Because if, depending on the communication, you're going to want to speak first, and then you're going to get emotional. And then what's going to happen is, instead of any type of understanding happening between the two of you, that's going to get lost amongst words. And then anger is going to arrive, and emotions are going to rise. And all of a sudden, the two of you are going to be engrossed in a conversation that does not glorify who God is and will not solve anything. So James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and then be slow to anger. Then why don't we do that? I see a lot of nodded heads in the room. I see everybody, all brothers and sisters in Christ. James says, all Christians, that's wise counsel. Even if you're not a Christian and you're in the room today, that is wisdom. Then why don't we do this? Why, when I sat on my couch this week and I look at the TV, I see people who claim to be Christians yelling profanities, throwing things, punching people. And James would be the first to say, I don't care what it is about. I don't care what they did to you, because that doesn't apply. What does apply is what God's word says, and you are to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and you are to be even slower to anger. Because if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that is how he calls you to respond. I sat frustrated this week because I watched TV and I saw individuals yelling to be louder than the other person. And no one cared what they really thought or believed. All they cared about was yelling louder and doing something stronger than the other person. I can promise you this. We will get nowhere with that type of communication. Nothing will be solved by what we see on TV. We will continue to get louder. Things will continue to get out of control until Christians finally stand up and say, that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came so that we would have life, but more importantly, that we would share what he desires of us first and foremost. Now, I think there are three major reasons in communication, bringing it down a level within our homes. You saw one perspective, and you saw points of views. But why we will have three different techniques all the time. The problem is we won't recognize it, and the problem is we're going to respond in a different way, not how James wants us to, and we're going to get ourselves into trouble. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Number one, some of us, whenever our spouse opens their mouth, we think it's fix-it time. Ladies, 90% of the time, most men, not all men, 90% of the time, most men will think that when you open your mouth and you want to communicate, you have a problem and you want your spouse, boyfriend, or relative to fix it. That's just how guys are wired. Unfortunately, guys in the room, most guys in the room, guess what? 90% of the time, ladies, when they open their mouth and they want to speak, they don't want you to fix anything. And so you can see all of a sudden, if you've ever had a conversation when the other person looks at you and you says, that is not what I need right now. That's when guys usually say the following, will never understand ladies. Well, it's because you're talking the wrong language, communication. So there's fix-it time. There's also a second time of communication technique, and that's what we call vent time. Guys don't really understand this. Vent time really doesn't make sense. Because the truth of the matter is this, men and women are wired differently. We all know this. We've read countless books on it. One of the books that I've read a long time ago, it displays it very simple in pictures for me because I need that because I'm a simple-minded guy, is men are like waffles and women are like spaghetti. And the illustration is of a waffle, you've got the different compartments in a waffle. Here's the truth. Most guys, you can go home and have a horrible day at work, but you can literally walk in your door, open the door, and you can say, you know what? I'm not going to think about work today. You can go sit in the Barker lounger, and you can think of nothing. You can actually turn your brain off and go, and think of nothing. How many ladies in the room would love that gift? Because ladies don't have that ability. Most ladies. Because their brain waves, their pathways are all interconnected in a different way. And so while what's amazing about them is they can handle and spin 20 different plates at the same time and multitask like you've never seen before. But the problem is they have a difficult time shutting their minds off to all of the different categories. And so when I talk about vent time, here's the truth. Most ladies need vent time more than guys. Ladies need to be able to come home and they need an outlet. They need a release because of all mentally that they're going through. And so they will come home and guys, here's the truth. Again, not all guys, not all ladies, but most of them. Here's what ends up happening. The ladies will come home and they will look at you and you are having a great day. And all of a sudden they'll come in and they'll say, I just need to talk about something. I just need to sit there and I just need to talk about something and they'll start. And then what ends up happening is I'm sitting here talking to you and I'm like, yes, and he did this and she did this and this and that. And all the lady wants to do is get it off her chest so she can get it off of her mind. And what do we do as men sometimes? Well, honey, if you would have just said this, I think I'd have fixed it. You want to see a fight? Just do that. There's vent time. Most of the time, men don't need the vent time until we're ready to explode, and then we vent. But the truth is, ladies will need vent time too. And in those moments, you just sit and you just listen. You follow James. Be quick to listen in those moments. And the last one I put is listen time. And this is really to the heart of communication. This is when it's not venting. This is when it's not I have a problem. This is, you know what, I want to connect. You saw Walt and Jean sitting down in the middle of a crazy life with kids with life on them. And you saw them at first sitting there and saying, you know what, it's really, really important for us to connect. Tell me about your day. Let's stay connected. And it's in those moments where you need to look one another in the eye and say, you know what, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to be slow to speak, and I'm really going to try to understand you. Here's the truth. Today, this week in our country, there were a lot of people yelling and screaming. But on the other side, no one was really caring about listening. Instead, they just cared about replying. Stephen Covey once said this. He's a famous author. He writes on organization, and he's a great, great leader. And he once said this. Most people listen to reply. Few listen to understand. Most listen to reply. Most husbands listen to reply. Most wives listen to reply. But few really care to understand. I can promise you in our country, if people would just sit and would be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, and really, really look to try to understand another person's perspective, we would not have all the craziness that we would have today. James is going to go on, though, because some of you are sitting there, but Terry, there are some times where you just need to look at what James has to say to you. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. James, right after this, says this. Okay, you need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and you need to be slow to anger because human anger, when you sit there and say, yeah, but I can do this because he did this. Well, you know what? Because I'm right and you're wrong, and so I'm allowed to yell as loud as I want. You know what? They threw this so I could throw it right back at them. James says that's human anger. That comes from you. That is not of God. And by the way, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, because most in this room doesn't understand what righteousness is, even though we say it in church all the time. I'm going to explain it to you. In the original language, righteousness defined as this, a right relationship with God. And so James says, human anger at any time, brothers and sisters, about communication will not give you the kind of relationship that God desires between you and him. So all the individuals this week who were screaming, yelling, profanities, throwing things, hitting people, they are not doing the kind of things that God desires within the relationship between the two of them. And in your homes, when you raise your voice, when you yell and scream, when you put a hand up, when you put a hand on, it never produces the kind of relationship that God desires between you and him. And so James takes it even further to some of us, and he doubles down and see what he says. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and humbly, with humility, accept the word of God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your soul. You're struggling in your marriage today. You're struggling with conflict today. James says, stop looking at God's word. Stop saying amen and then turning around and going out these doors and doing exactly what you normally do. Instead, quick, slow, slow. Quick, slow, slow. Quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. Ladies, don't say, well, my husband doesn't do it, so I don't have to do it. James says, no. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. It's for every Christian. It doesn't matter what's happening. You are to employ that all the days of your life. Then why do we do it? Why do we struggle? Here's the truth. These are four things that I want you to write them down. Some of you in this room, when communication starts, here's the bottom line. You fight to win. As soon as communication happens in your home, as soon as it happens with brother or sister, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, here's what happens. Communication has started. No matter what it is, I'm going to win. It'd be like us walking outside right now and I'm next to you. And if you have a fight to win personality, we will walk out the doors of the church. I'll look up and I'll say, oh gosh, the sky is so stunningly blue today. And you'll turn right away and say, well, actually, I'll say chartreuse. Just because it's a color. You can look it up. Turquoise. That's what I was thinking of. I said it last service and I couldn't get it out of my mouth. Turquoise. And boy, that ruined the illustration, didn't it? But you're standing out there. What does it matter if it's blue or turquoise? Why do you have... Boy, someone really... I hope you weren't sitting next to someone. Anyway. But why? Why does it matter? It doesn't. And if you say that all the time, you've got to check your heart. Because it's not about understanding the next person. It's not about communicating at a deeper level. It's about winning at all cost. Some of you do the opposite. Some of you flee. Some of you, whenever communication starts, you just shut down. You don't even want to talk. And what will happen is, I don't want to talk about it. 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 No, we're not going to talk about it today. Then when? When are you going to talk about it? Some of you flee and avoid and you hope that something will change. Some of you every single week pray that something changes and it never does. In fact, 4 years ago, I preached on this passage and you were here and you heard it. And 4 years later, you're still sitting here and nothing has changed because you continue to avoid. That's not right either. There's a third one. Fold. Some of you have great relationships with one another because all the time when communication happens, you give up. Hey, you know, honey, I was thinking maybe we should go to Mexican. Well, you know, I really like Italian. Okay, we'll go to Italian. You know, honey, I was really, really thinking that we should go to the beach today. You know, I'm really tired. Okay, we'll stay home. And everything you say is a fold because you don't want to cause conflict. You would rather not do anything that you like to do, not express any opinion, not communicate at all to avoid conflict. And that's not healthy either. The last one that I would tell you is what James requires of all of us, and it's this. We're here to figure it out. Lovingly resolve. If we actually are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, and we sit with our spouse, we look them in the eye and say, let's talk about this. And if we actually follow what James says, man, we will grow. Do you want to know how I know this? It's because James is about to say it. Follow along. James says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Let me illustrate this last illustration. It's like all of you sitting today. And if you're to sit here and say, Terry, you know what? I lose my temper. Terry, you know what? I fight to win. Terry, you know what? I'm not as close to my spouse, to my boyfriend, to my girlfriend. I'm not as close as I probably should be. And I should be following what James says. It would be like this. James says, it's like you saying today, I need to do this. You getting up, you walking out the doors, and you forget it. And he says, it's like looking at your face in a mirror and walking away and forgetting what you look like. And he says, if you think that your life will get better if you don't do what I say, you're fooling yourselves. You're fooling yourselves. And he says, if you actually will listen and actually do what God's word says. I said this in the last two services, and I don't mean to get on a rabbit trail, but I want you to hear me. I tell people all the time, you shouldn't do something because I tell you to do something. I'm a pastor, and I get up here every week, and I preach. But you shouldn't do something because Terry tells you to do something. You should do something because I pointed a screen that has the most powerful words in the universe on it. Because there's God's words. And when I point to God's word and God's word says you should do something, you should do it because God's word says it does, not because I say it. That has power to change you, not what I say. I close with this. 1914 in Europe. Trench warfare had assumed. If you don't know anything about World War I, in World War I there was a Western Front. And on the Western Front, there were two sides. There were the German army and there were the Allies. The Allies were dug in and they had all different types of zigzag trenches, miles and miles and miles long. And the Allied forces were trenched in and they were standing there. Between them and the other trenches which held the German army was a place called No Man's Land. In other words, you would never climb out of your hole and get on top of that land between the two of you because you would die. And that's where No Man's Land comes from. And fighting and fighting and fighting and misery and mud, life became the trenches. Two sides stuck, not moving much at all. And all of a sudden, Christmas Eve 1914 occurred. And on Christmas Eve night, the Allied soldiers hunkered down, all of a sudden heard something they never heard before. And they all stopped and they got quiet and they listened closer. And they heard singing. When they heard a little closer, they recognized the song that was being sung by the German forces. And it was Silent Night. You see, the German army was celebrating Christmas. And all of a sudden, the Allies, on their side, they started to sing louder, causing the other side to sing louder. And all of a sudden, both sides started singing the same songs. The next morning, two German soldiers came out of their trench and they got up on No Man's Land but held their arms out. No weapon. And they took a brave step across No Man's Land toward the Allied forces. Members of the Allied forces got up, stepped across No Man's Land, avoiding mines along the way. On Christmas Day, 1914, the Germans and the Allied forces on the Western Front met in the middle of No Man's Land. They exchanged gifts of plums and cigarettes. They shared stories through interpreters of their family. And they paused for a moment to communicate about Christmas. A writer went on to say the hope was from both sides is as they went back to their trenches after Christmas, that the next day no one would fire a shot. What they figured was maybe if we just stopped fighting here, the war would take care of itself elsewhere and we will be alive. For fear of treason, for fear of getting in trouble, unfortunately both sides began fighting again the next day. But for one day and for one moment, two embittered sides called a truce. Some of you in this room, you've been in a trench. And you're right. And no one's going to tell you different. And you are never going to call a truce. You are never going to budge. And nothing is going to get better. Last note I'll give you. For some of you, it's time to climb out of a trench and call a truce. It's time to listen to what James says. It's time to actually look at a person and communicate and speak and listen and understand. Will you walk out of this room and ignore, or will you actually do what God calls you to do? Let's pray. Father, my heart is heavy this morning because as I look out in this audience, there are so many individuals that I can see in their emotions, I can see in their faces, I can see their hearts are troubled. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that you would pound their heart. I pray that you would show them that no matter what they're going through, that if they're quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, that it can improve their relationship. It doesn't mean we'll agree at the end of it, but that we'll have the right spirit and we'll have understanding. So God, for the marriages today, I ask that you would break down the walls and the barriers the enemy tries to put up. I ask that you would give them power and that we would see marriages united. For families that have walls that have been up for years, God, I pray against the enemy and that you would empower them to believe. With all eyes closed and heads bowed, in just a moment, Tangina is going to get up and she's going to lead us in a song that we're going to sing together. And in order to follow what James says, in order to not get up in this room and to walk out these doors and to forget what James has said through Scripture, we're going to believe that life can come from His Word. We're going to believe that even though it might feel like there's death surrounding us, that there's no hope, that we can be alive in Christ because of what He can do in and through us. And so for marriages today, you need to believe that God has His hand on you and that you can overcome. Do you have the faith and the trust to believe that what God says, He will do? So Father, right now in this moment, as we close this service, as we sing with our hearts that you are alive, that we are alive in you, and that you can do amazing things, I pray that you would touch, move, and empower all of us in this room because of what you say. God, we love you this morning, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information about the ministries at Ocean View, or if you'd like to speak to someone directly, you can visit our website at www.ovbc.org. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.